Well, today we will continue with Acts chapter 5. And this is the same continuing thought. You know, chapters 3, 4, and 5 all go together. And now, once we finish chapter 5, chapter 6 goes into... there's a time lapse between chapters 5 and chapter 6. But 3, 4, and 5 all go together in the same time frame, which is, I'm very confident, just right after Acts 2. So right after the day of Pentecost is where Acts 3 started with Peter and John healing the disabled man at the gate of the temple. And which my thought is that it could have been as early as Monday afternoon, where Sunday was the day of Pentecost, and that next Monday afternoon that would be the earliest, and been realistic also to when chapter 3 took place. But at the very least, we're just talking about weeks, and I'm going to say not many months. So basically weeks at the most from chapter 3. And then this, everything went quickly in here. So, but now definitely from 3, 4, and 5, these accounts very likely happened over a period of weeks, maybe, and maybe only 1 week. Because we know for one thing, these Sadducees are not going, they were so adamantly opposed to the Messiah and then the teaching that these apostles were doing, proclaiming that the one that you had killed is raised from the dead. Well, the Sadducees could not let that stand, so there's not much time that has passed. Now that is about to change, and we have a time lapse to go from chapter 5 and 6. But just a quick review where Peter and John, after they heal the disabled man, and then they are teaching and proclaiming that the one that they had crucified has risen, and they have gotten this power to heal this man through Jesus, who was the Messiah. Well, then at that time, then the Sanhedrin called Peter and John in, and with the Sadducees, have them pulled in before the Sanhedrin. And then they put them in jail overnight and then release them. And then Peter gives them the plan of salvation as he had done in Acts 2. It's just worded a little differently, but just different terminology, but it was the same plan. We went over that in Acts 3. But anyway, so the Sanhedrin, soon after Pentecost, got to hear the plan of salvation themselves in their own chamber. And anyway, then they release Peter and John with just a strict command to no longer teach in the in this man's name. And we'll see even here in this account today that they do not want, they never say Jesus' name. They just say this man's name. There's a two or three phrases that they use, or that man, this man or that man, is what they referred to Jesus. And anyway, then they release him on that. And then it was, then all of the apostles continued to teach, and the disciples continued to grow. And then in the beginning of Acts 5, had the account of Ananias and Sapphira, where they lied and deceived the apostles, the other Christians, the congregation there in Jerusalem, and as Peter tells him, tells both of them, before the Holy Spirit. And so both of those are both struck dead on the spot. And then the way Kaufman worded it is that this experiment ended at this time of that they had all things in common, and that people would sell possessions to give to the needy or the poor Christians. And he said that terminology was never, that they had all things in common, never was mentioned again. And he thinks that what Luke is telling this account for one reason is that this experiment failed. And that's why it never was repeated after this ever again. And now, at this occasion, though, the apostles here are still teaching in the temple, and the Sadducees again come to arrest them. Now, it's all of the apostles this time. And they put them in prison. But now the difference this time is God has an angel of the Lord break them out of prison, except the gate is never opened. And so now, and then the apostles go back to teaching in the temple, and then the Sanhedrin or whoever it is, they get the report that the apostles now are back in the temple teaching, doing the very thing you commanded them not to do. And so this is the account that we're coming into here today. And ultimately what is going to happen, the Sadducees want these apostles killed. But, and who knows, it may have come to that, at least would have been stronger, except Gamaliel, the elder statesman, and maybe one of the most respected, if not the most respected, in this Sanhedrin, gives a speech at the end of chapter 5 and tells them that we better let this go, because otherwise, if this is of men, and he gives two different accounts of people, of uprisings that happened, and they came to nothing because they were of men. And he said, if these are of men, it will come to nothing. But if it's of God, we don't want to find ourselves fighting against God, and we will not be able to do it. So that is his reasoning, and they go with that. But they still beat the apostles at the end of chapter 5 here, and then release them. And then there's not any list of any more persecution until Acts chapter 8. And then that's when all of the Christians except the apostles flee Jerusalem. But Kaufman thinks then in chapter 6, 7, and 8, years have gone by. 5, 6, 7 years have gone by, or 8 years. I've even heard maybe 8 years or something, or 10. But anyway, where all of the Christians have had years then to learn at the feet of the apostles, and then they went teaching the gospel everywhere they went. Which obviously, with the Saul of Tarsus account, with Saul initiating and leading this persecution, that was ultimately God's plan to spread the gospel all over now the Roman Empire with these Christians that had studied and learned about God's kingdom and how to teach the good news of God's kingdom to the people. And that's what they did everywhere they went. Is there any questions or comments on anything so far? Okay, we ended up last week at verse 22. So we'll start with Acts 5, verse 22. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now, when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So, now, if this happened today, if a judge said, okay, go get the prisoner, tell the bailiff, the prison guards, go get the prisoner and have him brought into the courtroom, And they said, well, we went into his cell and he's not there. Well, you know who's going to be in trouble. It's going to be the guards. Well, what did y'all do? You didn't follow the protocol. How did this man escape? Well, this they completely believe. They know this is not your typical jailbreak, because the prison gate door is shut and still locked securely. And the guards were standing right outside the door. The men, the apostles, basically they've just vanished. The angel let them out and they are gone. And so, what the Sanhedrin does not blame the prisoners, because in that day, if a prison guard allowed a prisoner to escape, that was the death penalty for the prison guards. And that does not happen here. So the main point that we get from this is the Sanhedrin knew that God enabled or had the apostles escape. God was the one that was in charge of these apostles escaping. Otherwise, if they did not believe that, they would have had those prison guards killed, put to death. And they would have done this in every other instance. But they believed, see, they'd already known, they at Jesus' crucifixion, they saw all the signs from heaven and on the earth beneath, as the prophet Joel had prophesied about. They'd witnessed all of that. In fact, even the priest had witnessed more than the children of Israel, the citizens of Jerusalem and the inhabitants that came in. They saw the veil of the temple ripped from top to bottom. And the priest did. And that all got reported to the Sanhedrin. And who knows, maybe some of those very likely were witnesses in that. But anyway, they knew full well of that, so they already knew that God's hand was involved with Jesus and with these apostles. And so that's why they don't call for the death of these prison guards. Kaufman said about these three verses, "Sign after sign was given to the hard-hearted leaders of Israel, but they remained defiant against God. Under the circumstances, they could not have failed to know that God was with the apostles, but they were determined to carry forward their opposition by allying themselves with Satan." So that's what they chose. They chose to ally themselves with Satan instead of with God. And so they were working against God. Now, the Sadducees were the main ones pushing the envelope here, trying to push the Sanhedrin. And Satan, obviously, is working with the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees at the forefront to put the apostles to death. And that's what Satan would have wanted, thinking, well, hey, then this is my next best. I thought I was killing off the Messiah whenever I was involved, influential in his crucifixion. Well, that just made him stronger. And now God's kingdom is established, and that backfired on me. But this is the next best thing. Now I'll give his 12 main leaders now that are spreading the gospel, I can get them killed. So that's obviously what Satan's plan was. And the Sanhedrin has decided, well, they'll go along with this now. It's Gamaliel ultimately that changes this line of thinking. Any questions on anything up to this point?
That's really interesting, because, you know, Jesus entered a locked room.
Yes.
And now these apostles.
Yes.
That's
right. They were teleported, is what happened. You know, Jesus would teleport himself in and out of a room, And these apostles were teleported right out of the jail cell. And that's not the only example. Also, Philip the evangelist in Acts chapter 8. He was teleported away from wherever it was on the journey down to Ethiopia. And after the Ethiopian eunuch or nobleman was baptized by Philip the evangelist, as they were coming out of the water, God teleported Philip the evangelist, and then he ended up at Gaza or somewhere, but it was way north, back just south of Jerusalem, south of Judea somewhere, and then he taught his way as he went to Caesarea, and that's where he homesteaded. There are several accounts, but this is one of the accounts of a teleportation. They did not walk out. They were disappeared out, is what God had done on this. Verse 25. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them. Now, they get word that these apostles are now teaching in the temple again, the very thing that they were strictly commanded not to do. And so then the Sanhedrin had the soldiers go and pick them. Now, obviously, normally, this would have been rough treatment of the by the soldiers to the apostles, of getting them back to the Sanhedrin. But it was without violence because the soldiers didn't want the people. Well, the people knew that they were from God, and that God had released them from the prison. And so here they were teaching before them. So there was no way that the soldiers were going to do any police brutality, as it's referred to today, getting them back to the Sanhedrin. And the apostles gave no resistance themselves. And so they were just obviously just walked and taken easily to back to the Sanhedrin, which the apostles were ready to go again, because they're ready to teach right in front of the apostles and Peter, and all of them even talk on this occasion. It's not just Peter alone, but we do get Peter's words.
They probably saw the apostles, and this was a captive audience, so they didn't want to cuff them and all of that good stuff and drag them out of there, because they would have had a pretty reception on
that. Yes. It would have been all of these people that they were teaching,
yeah,
then would have attacked them.
Yeah.
Yes.
So evidently they were converting then.
Yes, you got that right. And as was mentioned in verse 13, referred to the rest, which was the non-Christian Jews. They even highly esteemed the apostles and this teaching, but they, for whatever reason, they have at that point at least refused to become Christians themselves. But it was the rest that the soldiers were concerned about, and Kaufman talks about that here. On this phrase, lest they should be stoned, Kaufman said, "The popularity of the new faith was such that the Sadducean priest simply did not dare provoke the anger of the Jerusalem mob. The Christians would not have stoned the officers, but rather the non-Christians whose sympathies were with the disciples might have broken into violence if angered." And it was What Luke refers to in verse 13 as the rest, That's who they had to fear. The Christians would not have raised a hand or thrown any stones against the prison guards, the soldiers here, but they feared that the Jewish non-Christians would have, who knew that, well, they had seen all these miracles, even after Jesus' crucifixion and all, here over the whatever this time frame in of Acts 3 through 5 is, this period of days or weeks, they have seen all of these miracles that these apostles had been performing. So they know they're from God. So this is the reason for this fear, which, you know, you always heard of it was about the founding of our nation, about when the people fear, whenever the people fear the government, there is tyranny. The government is very tyrannical. But when the government fears the people, then there's liberty. And anyway, this is a little sign of liberty here, because it is the government fearing the people here in this account. Any questions or comments on any of this?